I'm Ruthie, and I have a recorder. Tune in Wednesdays from 4 to 5 to Out There. We'll meet people and plants around the streets and paths of Northampton, and we'll think about ways we can share the world. Here on Valley Free Radio, or archived online at weatherbeer.com/out there. Get out if you can, but if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if they laugh at us. Let them take the bus and leave the sickle for us. They can have a Cadillac and T-1-2, but give me my rocket bicycle for two. And that's today. It's Wednesday, May 18th. Thanks for tuning in to Out There and to Valley Free Radio, also streaming online at valleyfreeradio.org. Today was bike breakfast. This whole week is bike commute week across the country. I actually traded emails with James Lowenthal, who used to be the president of Mass Bike Pioneer Valley, but is in Montreal, and wished him a happy bike commute day today and every day. And he said in Montreal, yes, it is every day. But anyway, every day this week in the Pioneer Valley, there's events and bike breakfasts and things happening. A bunch of today's show is clips from this morning's bike breakfast. I also wanted to mention tomorrow there's going to be a bike commute breakfast at the Lilly Library in Florence. It'll be the first time that Florence has had its thing. I believe Adam Novit, who's the library director there, may have something to do with that. He's also a bike commuter. Let's see. And the first half of the show, I think, will be bike breakfast and bike commute stuff. And then I'm not sure what the last part of the show will be. We'll see how much time is left. And I'm expecting an arrival from Dwayne at any minute, and he might have a few things to say, too. We'll start with this.
Hi, I'm Karen Jones, and I've helped organize the Bike Week events in Amherst. On Thursday night at the library, the Jones Library, there's going to be 3 hours of short documentary films about bicycling around the world. About bicycling in cities around the world. Not one person going around the world.
All the way around the world, okay.
So it shows what has been done to make room for pedestrians and bicyclists. And we'll be giving the 7th annual Arthur Swift Memorial Bicycle Commuter Advocate Award.
Oh, great.
And it's open to everyone. It's free. It's at the Jones Library, and we look forward to seeing anybody who can come.
And what time again tomorrow?
It starts at 4:30 and goes until 8:30.
Great. Do you want to say anything else about other bike-related work or anything?
We're still on. Yeah. There's a bike rodeo for kids 7 years and older at the Crocker Farms Elementary School. Today, on Wednesday, starting at 4 p.m., it's organized by very talented folks, and it's a lot of fun. It's a safe way to be challenged as a bicyclist.
All right. How long will it go till? Because this show is going to air at 4, from 4 to 5.
Oh, yeah, it goes about 4 to 5:30.
Great. Well, I'll play it first. This announcement first thing.
Thank you for doing this.
Yeah.
Hey, Ruthie.
Hey, Bill.
Good. Nice to see you.
You've got the gloves on. You bike here today?
I'm with the program. Did Monty? No, Monty drove from Turner's. Of course he did. Bike breakfast and he just...
Wait, why did you bike today?
Because I didn't want to take a lot of from Bill Monty. That's why. Oops, there goes your FCC license.
I know. I have to edit this. I have to delete that.
ACLU attorney.
Cool. Thanks for being here, y'all.
A good question, totally reasonable for a national and regional and local bike day. Congratulations, Ruthie. Very good reporting. Congratulations.
Proud of you.
I didn't warn you I was recording. I didn't warn you that I was recording.
Always have the mic on. I always have the mic in front of
me. It is on. But I don't have to tell you that I'm recording or not.
Well,
I don't know. How does that work?
If you have the mic on and you're panning in front of somebody and say, would you like to make a statement? I think that this is notice enough. That
great.
You're being recorded.
Thanks.
Otherwise, why?
That's the
woman
general consensus legally, isn't it?
I think that's the general consensus. Yeah, it's certainly the consensus on a cell phone. So it works for a cell phone. It's got to work for an actual recorder.
This is a big one. This is a big, obvious one.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's go.
We had a surreptitious one like behind your ear or something.
That would, you're right. That wouldn't work. That would not be noticed.
You're right.
In Massachusetts, it's all party notice.
All party?
As opposed to the federal law in some other states, which is one-party consent.
Oh.
We're in notice state. As long as you're on notice, it's up to you whether or not you want to walk away from the recording. And for public, never public. Anyway, Ruthie, it's fine. You just record anyone you want. You just put that microphone up there, and people will say.
That was ACLU attorney Bill Newman and WHMP host. He and Monty Belmonte were there with WHMP this morning broadcasting. Yes. Next is Mayor David Narkowitz.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Hi.
I see your helmet in your hands.
Yes, I
am. And your
bike tie.
And your bike tie.
And my bike to work today in honor of this event. So, yeah.
And you're fixing to read the proclamation.
I'm fixing to read the proclamation that I do every year at, here at the Bike Breakfast. And got a lot of cool stuff going on. We're actually, tonight is our second public forum on Bike Walk Northampton, or Walk Bike Northampton, which is a large public planning process. We're trying to do a big citywide master plan for bicycle and pedestrians. Alta Planning, which is the firm that we've hired to help us with this sort of visioning process, and we've had two or three different public forums. They're going to be doing kind of a open house at 5:30. This is actually at the First Churches, and they're going to be showing some of the designs they've already come up with, and then they're going to go into the forum at 6:30. Again, just to collect more feedback from the public about some of the ideas that they've looked at now that they've spent several weeks and months here in Northampton kind of checking things out.
Do you have the chance to bike to work other days besides Bike to Work Day?
I try to. One of my biggest challenges is that I frequently have to go to events in other parts of the county or Springfield. So that sometimes makes it a little bit challenging. I like to bike, but it's hard, you know, in a suit and tie to go to Springfield. So that's one of the challenges. So I try to work it in. I also just try to work it in just for pleasure on the weekend, just to get on my bike and not think about things and just ride. So
our mayor is here to issue his proclamation. But before I turn the mic over to him, I do want to thank all of the local businesses for giving us these wonderful goodies for today. And they include Tandem Bagel, State Street Market, Bread Euphoria, Northampton Coffee. We've already gone through five urns, I think. Cereals, Big Y, Haymarket Cafe, Deals and Steals, Paul and Elizabeth, Downtown Sounds, River Valley Market, Hungry Ghost Bread, and of course, Bill Newman and Monty Belmonte are here. So thank everybody. Northampton Cycling Club, Pioneer Valley Planning Commission. Am I missing anybody? Oh, yes, the phone bank. And Mass Bike, yes. Yay! So thank you all very much, and I'd like to turn this now over to our mayor of Northampton, Mayor Mark.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the wonderful Bike Breakfast, a great annual tradition as part of Bike Week. It's great to be here with you. And I have the great pleasure of reading a proclamation. I did want to identify some other city officials that are here today. From the City Council, Ward 3 City Councilor Ryan O'Donnell, who's also Chair of the Transportation and Parking Commission. Thanks for being here, Ryan. And also our Director of Planning and Sustainability, Wayne Fiden, is here. Where's Wayne? There's Wayne. Yeah, I got to give a shout out to Wayne. The proclamation is entitled Bike Commute Day, May 18th, 2016, as part of Bay State Bike Week. Whereas bicycling contributes to the health and fitness of residents, provides mobility to young people, does not add noise or air pollution, and provides an inexpensive and convenient way to commute. And whereas cyclists have the same rights and duties as drivers of other vehicles, including the right to use our city streets. And whereas cyclists must follow the traffic laws as other vehicles, both for their own safety and for the safety of others. And whereas the city of Northampton offers bike paths, parks, rivers, and other scenic opportunities for bicycle recreation and tourism, and the city has installed bike racks throughout downtown and painted bike lanes to encourage cycling. And whereas bicycles are used in a variety of occupations, including by members of Northampton's police department, and by pedal people who haul the city's trash and recycling from our downtown. Now, therefore, I, David J. Narkowitz, do hereby proclaim May 18th, 2016, to be Bike Commute Day in the city of Northampton, and I encourage all citizens who are able to bicycle to work or school and to take cognizance of cyclists in their travels. I urge citizens to consider bicycling as an efficient, planet-friendly, and enjoyable mode of transportation and recreation. In witness whereof, I have set my hand and imprinted the city seal this 18th day of May, 2016. Happy Bike Commute Day, everybody.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ 103.3 FM. And I'm playing clips from this morning's bike commute breakfast in downtown Northampton. And here's more.
I now get to introduce John Gausted, who is representing Friends of Northampton Trails and Greenways. John?
And this year, I'm happy to announce that the Friends of Northampton Trails and Greenways Trail Neighbor Award goes to Caleb Langer and Emily Langer. In recognition of their establishing the Tweed Ride as a novel way to enjoy the trails, and their example of a bicycle-based business, namely Sweet Spoken. You may have seen their cart, their bicycle-driven sales carts around the town at various farmers markets, etc. Congratulations.
I'm Emily Langer. I live in Florence, and my husband Caleb and I run a bicycle patisserie called Sweet Spoken, and we go around to area farmers markets, special events, and we have a cargo bicycle that we set up our pastry case on top of, and we sell organic chocolates, organic pastries, and we also do online sales and stuff like that. So,
when did you start?
We started in 2014.
Okay, like a year after you moved to Florence.
Yep, almost exactly a year after we moved here. And we just thought we had this idea to do this bicycle-based business, and we thought Northampton was the perfect place to do it, and it is. It's been very supportive.
So you bike the things everywhere?
Yep, we unless there's some kind of circumstances that prevent us, usually we'll bike to every event we go to. And it's nice because that kind of keeps our events really local.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have two children here, too? How old are the kids?
This is Tabitha, and she's 9 months, and Teddy is also here, and he's 4.
Hi, Teddy.
And we have a 10-year-old Juliet who's at school right now.
Okay. So how do they go to the markets sometimes, too, with the
pastries? Yep, sometimes the kids will come with us.
What kind of vehicle how do you move everyone and everything?
Well, if the pastry bike is in use for pastries, then Tibby can only ride in the cargo bike that we have because she's still under a year, so... Teddy will ride on a seat on the back of one of our bikes, and Julia is old enough to ride her own bike, so, yeah.
How about your bicycle earrings? Where did they come from?
They came from my daughter last year for Mother's Day. She surprised me with them, and they kind of match our logo for the business, so it was very sweet.
Cool. Well, thanks for adding to the bike business mix. This is Annie. She also does Pedal People, lives in Florence.
Nice to meet you. So do you make the pastries and chocolates, like, in a commercial kitchen at... We're at home. Do you have a licensed kitchen?
Yeah, we have a licensed kitchen out of our home. So right now we do all of our baking and chocolatiering work out of that kitchen. Yeah.
And do you have supplemental income, or is this your whole business for the two of you?
No, Caleb is a firefighter for the city of Northampton. Yeah. So this is kind of my full-time job is being a mom. Part-time job is making chocolates and... Caleb does the rest.
Eating chocolate and riding bikes. I mean, is it hard to not... You have to sample things, right? How does that all work, not having chocolate around all the time?
Well, usually I try to get other people to do the sampling. Yeah, volunteers. We're always looking for volunteers. You know, when you're making...
pedalpeople.coop.
You get sick of it when you're the one making it all the time.
It's probably a good thing.
It's definitely good to get other people's feedback.
Yeah. I don't think you'd get helpful feedback from pedal people who would just say, great, whatever it is, we'll take it. Well, congratulations on the award.
Thanks very much.
Where's the bike?
The bike is actually here. It's a family vehicle right now. It's that one right there. Yeah, so when Caleb built like an insert for it that we use for the business, but when that comes out of it, it has like a seat in there with child restraints. So, yeah, and he actually just installed like a custom latch system for Tibby's car seat so that she can ride in there too.
Here's a cyclist who's come for bike breakfast. Tell me, Emily, how's your banana and bagel this morning?
Oh, it's a hot mat when I took a big bag of banana. Oh, I answer better.
Perfect. So, Emily, why are you riding a bicycle today?
I ride a bicycle basically every day. But they don't usually give me breakfast for it. So I took a little detour to come for this. Mm-hmm. So I could get some breakfast and chat with other bikers.
So you bike to work every day usually and back?
Yep.
How come?
Every day. I started doing it like 12 years ago. And I hate driving. So I decided I never wanted to go back to commuting by car.
Mm-hmm. When you started, where were you?
Minneapolis. Uh-huh.
So you were used to winter biking before you moved here?
Well, sort of. I very gradually extended my biking in winter. In Minneapolis, I took the bus a lot in the winter. Uh-huh. I never quite made it year-round in Minneapolis because I never got studded tires while I was living there. Uh-huh. So as soon as the snow buildup got too bad on the roads, I would kind of retire my bike for a month or two until it got better again.
So Northampton winters must be easy for you then.
Yes, I love Northampton winters. This is the easiest place I've lived to bike in the winter.
Anything else you want to add?
There was one very cold day this winter. It was actually the coldest day I think I've ever biked.
Yeah, because there were 2 10 below nights this winter.
Yeah, so I think I biked at slightly below zero one morning. Fortunately, my commute's not too long. It's like 15 minutes, so I just bundled up. And it felt pretty good while I was biking. Shockingly. Not great, but not terrible. I would have been really cold in a car that morning anyway, because you're just sitting there. And in 15 minutes, like, your heat's just heated up in a car, so that was going to be miserable either way.
That was Emily Wergeen. I like her description of biking on a sub-zero day. It felt pretty good. Well, not great, not terrible. Well, would have been miserable either way. But totally doable, yes. All those things in one. Yeah, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring, and this is WXOJ. These are clips from this morning's bike breakfast in downtown Northampton. There's going to be bike breakfasts, which is like free breakfast for anyone who shows up on a bicycle. Really for anyone who just shows up, but it's to celebrate and promote bicycling, bike commuting particularly. But tomorrow morning, there's going to be a bike commute breakfast at the Lilly Library in Florence, Friday morning in Amherst. You know, I think there might be one Thursday morning at the Quarters in Hadley, but I'm not entirely sure on that. You can go to baystatebikeweek.org, I think. Okay. We got some more clips here. Next, we're going to have Gabor Lucas. Not sure how you say his last name. From Amherst, and Marianne. Gabor, are you going to be at bike breakfast in Amherst on Friday?
That's right.
With your bike zoo?
Well, this time we don't have it.
No, you can't. It's just can't be on the sidewalk.
Yeah, but this time we didn't have the advertisement for a strange bicycle thing. I was going to bring my hand pedaler.
Can you describe the hand pedaler for listeners, for radio listeners?
Well, I have never seen it before elsewhere, but I always had the idea that these recumbent bikes that have the hand pedals for disabled people, what a great workout they are. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, well, I wouldn't want to make a whole recumbent for it, but I could just alter a sit-up bike, a regular bicycle. And I thought it through, and I thought I could do it, because I knew that I would have to pedal with my hands as well as steer with my hands. Mm-hmm. So I put it together. It wasn't great. It was a little lopsided, and then I adjusted it. And then it started to work. It was so exciting that I even forgot to put brakes on it for a while. And then it was kind of hard because I made the pedals, the hand pedals, out of foot pedals. Uh-huh. And cut my hand. So I discovered that there is a Connecticut shop where they make parts for recumbent bicycles for disabled people, or for, you know, people who don't have functioning legs. Mm-hmm. And I got those, and those are so good.
Like the handles.
The handles to pedal.
Axle.
Yeah. So they just screw right into where the pedal would screw in. Uh-huh. So now whenever I bike that bike, in front of me, about a little less than face level, there is the crankset. I can still see over it because it's narrow. But I'm pedaling in front of me while I can also pedal down with my leg. So I call that bike the all-wheel drive.
Yeah, okay, so it's like a mountain bike, right? Just a mountain bike that you put a rear wheel in the front fork. Is that right?
I put a rear wheel with actually internal hub. It's easier to switch because I don't have to pedal while I switch. And it's hard to take one of my hands off this accoutrement and switch while the other one pedals.
No, I'm going to fly to Spokane.
So now I can just stop
and start from there.
And then change the gear shift. It has seven speeds.
Seven speeds in the front.
In the front.
And the front wheel.
Correct. Correct. So it has both speeds in the rear wheel and the front wheel. And I just adjust the two that on sharp heels I can pedal both.
So usually with a bike, like a 10 speed, you got two chain rings between your legs and then, you know, five cogs in the rear. So you got two down five, you got a 10 speed. But if you got another more seven speeds in the front wheel, is that like a 70 speed?
Well, except that it's two different sets of chain. I have a chain up front, and I have a chain back, but they are not connected at all with each other.
Okay.
Yeah. And the chain up front is quite long because it has to come up all the way from the wheel.
So it's a totally upright bike.
With two wheels and hand pedaling ability.
Simultaneous as opposed to alternate cranking.
Exactly.
Simultaneous cranking. And when you have to shift, you have to take one of those hands away to go to the first handlebar to shift. Is that
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
So you're steering, shifting, and pedaling with your hands all at the same time?
Yes.
And yet there are two handlebars, one that's only pedaling.
Well, the two handlebars are not important. They just worked out that way.
Okay. Yeah.
So you can choose to not pedal. You can just put your hands on the handlebars and steer and just let those pedals be in front of you.
You have to
see this thing, right?
Yeah, right. It was a very small bike.
On Friday morning in Amherst at the bike breakfast.
That's right.
7 to 10 a.m.
Where?
That's right.
Right in the corner and the intersection of Main Street, Amity Street, and the Pleasant Streets.
Right in front of Town Hall.
So that was Gabor and Marianne, and a little bit from Karen, the Amherst bike contingent that came from Northampton's bike breakfast this morning. Elaine, who was the main organizer of this morning's bike breakfast, gave a bunch of thank yous to different businesses and people that contributed, and I just wanted to thank Elaine Formica. She does Bike Ridge. And next we have, I'm going to take a little break here. Well, not really a break, because it's still bike stuff. This is Vats Domino.
Ain't got a Cadillac or a big automobile. I'm just a little guy, not a big time wheel. But I can prove my love is true. On my rocking bicycle that's built for two. We don't care if we live out of date. We don't care if we're a little bit late. Gonna make a sin, baby, me and you. On my rocking bicycle. Just a little guy, not a big time wheel. But I
we don't be in front, we be right behind. We don't care if they laugh at us. Let them take the bus, give the sequel to us. They can have the Cadillac and T-Bot, but give me my rocking bicycle for two.
Thanks, Fats Domino, for that. So the other Bike Week events going on this week, this evening from 6:30 to 8. Actually, there's an open house from 5:30 to 6:30 is a Walk Bike Northampton public forum at First Church's Sanctuary on Main Street in downtown Northampton. It's a presentation of recommendations for new policies, programs, and infrastructure projects to improve the environment for pedestrians and cyclists. And like I said, tomorrow at the Lilly Library in Florence, 19 Meadow Street, is a commuter breakfast and bike to school train. The breakfast is from 7 to 9, and then the bike to school train, it leaves the library at 8 a.m. for Leeds Elementary School. Each child should be accompanied by a responsible adult. There's also going to be on Saturday at the Lilly Library a bike safety class from 10 to 11 in the morning. It's actually for 4th and 5th graders. Yep, BayStateBikeWeek.org has more things. And, yeah, Fridays, Amherst Bike Breakfast, Thursday night, films at the Jones Library in Amherst. And, oh, yeah, I might as well play the Bike Lab announcement every Saturday.
You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Venga para el Bike Lab de Northampton y se divertirá mucho, le enseñará muchas lecciones cómo arreglar bicicletas.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is.
Ya súbase a la bici, compa. Trépese a la de montaña, la bici.
Okay, my name is Kelly, and I work for the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts. Here out promoting our fundraiser, We'll Bike for Food. It's we have a four-route bike route, and it's to help raise money for the food bank.
When is it?
It's September 25th. It's a Sunday. It's out of Hatfield. And after the roots are done, we have a barbecue for everyone with live music and barbecue, face painting, games. So it's a lot of fun for families and individuals that like to ride.
And I can say that I did this ride last year, and it's really beautiful.
Yes, it's all through Western Mass, so it's in the fall. So what better time to see Western Mass is in the fall.
And also, as I was wearing this Wheel Bike for Food shirt, I collected many apples and pears along the way and ate my way through the ride even before I got to the barbecue.
Nice.
Thanks.
And you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ LP 103.3 FM, also streaming online at valleyfreeradio.org.
Hi, I'm Violet Bertelson, a local herbalist, and this and every Saturday, I am having an herb walk and walks at Northampton, Toucan Street, right by the bike path in Frogtown, where the bike path is close to the parking lot outside of Acadia Herbals. We'll be looking at the seasonal herbs, discussing their uses, their properties, and their magic. So please come and join us this Saturday and every Saturday at 2 p.m.
Drum and Bass with DJ Fife is on 8 o'clock on Saturday night. We roll from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock on the Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP, or online at valleyfreeradio.org. Join the 8 o'clock Drum and Bass Association by listening to Drum and Bass with DJ Fife, 8 to 10 Saturday nights.
You spin me right round, baby, right round.
Back in the city, that is the world.
Reach out, touch, baby.
Higher, better, faster,
stronger.
You wear the shoes like a dog, 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 dog.
Tune into Subculture, the best in new wave, electro, dance, indie pop, and funk music. Friday nights from 8 to 10 here on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ 103.3 FM.
Welcome back to Out There. The next clip I'm going to play is from someone that I met when I was traveling a few weeks ago. I was coming back from Kentucky via Nashville, Tennessee, and I was getting on the bus. And this guy that was sitting in the aisle across from me, he looks at me and he says, "Are you from Northampton?" I was like, "There's no way I know anyone here." And he didn't look familiar to me at all. And I was like, "Yeah." And he said, "Are you part of Pedal People?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, because I stayed in your house when I was doing a bike ride across Massachusetts in 2012 as part of Climate Summer." I was like, "Oh, great." And he said, "Let me tell you what I'm doing now." And so he told me.
Hi, my name is Murtaza Nek. Folks know me as Chalk around where I organize in Detroit. I'm part of a group called the Michigan Coalition Against Tar Sands, and we're collectively organizing a bike ride along a crude oil pipeline known as Line 5, owned and operated by Enbridge. The goal of the bike trip is to, it's not merely a bike trip, we're actually canvassing all the communities along the route of the pipeline. We estimate there are up to 900 homes that are in the immediate vicinity of the pipeline. It's a 750-mile stretch, and the reason we're concerned about it is that it's 63 years old, it's leaked over a dozen times in the past, and most critically, it has a 4.5-mile section running through the Great Lakes, through the Straits of Mackinac. It's the Straits of Mackinac and the Great Lakes are like the largest body of fresh water, unpolluted fresh water on the planet. This pipeline is well overdue, well past its expiration date. It was built to last approximately 50 years, and it's 63-year-old now. It's still running. Enbridge wants to run it indefinitely, they've said, even now. And Enbridge is also like a not really trustworthy company. They are responsible for the largest inland tar sands disaster in U.S. history, which a lot of people didn't know about because it was happening in the summer of 2010 when the BP disaster was happening, so it was overshadowed by the BP media. Over 1 million gallons of diluted tar sands bitumen spilled into Talmadge Creek in the Kalamazoo River, and it was impossible to clean up because tar sands actually sinks in water, whereas crude oil generally floats. Line 5, which we're targeting, is a crude oil pipeline, but it's owned and operated by the same company, and so we're looking to get it shut down. There's a big environmental movement in Michigan ready to shut this down and has been already doing a whole mess of different things, but our group, Mike Hatz, thinks it's time for us to reach out to the community members that actually live along the pipeline and add their voices to opposition. We assume they'd be opposed to it.
Can you just say again, how long is the pipeline? How long is the bike ride stretch that you're focusing on?
The bike ride, the pipeline runs 750 miles from Sarnia, Ontario, to Superior, Wisconsin, all through Michigan. And the bike trip is going to be two parts. The first part's 11 days from May 25th to June 4th, and the second part's going to be like 40-something days, starting July 7th and ending in August 20th. We're going to be doing events along the way. If you're interested in more info, you can go to biketheline.org. There's also a Facebook page and a donation page you can access from there. We're looking for all kinds of support, not necessarily monetary. But yeah, if you could just spread the word, that would be great.
Anything else you want to add?
I'm hearing that lots of great work was done in terms of reaching out to community and for the Tennessee Gas Pipeline, and that it was recently shut down. So I feel like just reaching out to community members that are affected by a proposed or existing pipeline is just a really good way to go, and probably a good vibe checker for how likely the pipeline is going to be shut down. Yeah, but we think that the Line 5 is going to be shut down pretty soon because there's a lot of mainstream opposition to it already as it is now. A lot of political leaders are stepping up to oppose legislation to shut it down. People are speaking up. It's great. I almost wonder whether or not this bike trip is even necessary, but we think it's going to add a lot. So.
Cool. Thanks for your work. So you're saying that some of your family have told you that if you slow down your lifestyle, whatever, too much, you won't be effective. What do you think about that?
No, yeah. So actually, it was the implication I got from climate organizers earlier when I was like burning a lot more fuel to just sustain my living. If you go too far in terms of like primitivizing your life and slowing down and reducing your dependence on fossil fuels and other fuels, that you'll limit your ability to actually take on and fossil fuel energy projects and like change the system and push for revolution and stuff. And I found that like pushing for sustainability was in your own life was a really important aspect of not being like kind of a hypocrite and stuff. And I also wanted to test whether or not I found that it actually is possible and very viable to both like primitivize yourself and like reduce your dependence on fuel and live more simply. I'm living off the grid right now while at the same time taking on multinational energy corporations who are involved in fossil fuel projects. I feel like I'm doing more now to fight fossil fuels than I might have in a really long time, and I'm doing it like essentially off the grid. So I do think it's viable.
Are you doing internet?
I do use the internet actually, so I don't want to come off as completely off the grid. I spend a lot of time in coffee shops, so there's my continuing hypocrisy, but it's only at the coffee shops. When I go back home, like I'm off and electricity, heat, and water grids.
In Detroit?
Yeah. I found it to be pretty viable for the most part. But going forward, I would have to figure out ways to increase my solar panel throughput for electricity and figure out ways to connect to the internet without depending on coffee shops. But even still, the internet is a whole network of people who are all mostly connected to fossil fuels, so it's virtually impossible to use the internet right now without the fossil fuels.
That was Murtaza Nek, an organizer I met on the bus, who's organizing in Michigan. I want to make a couple of announcements. Oh, actually, I know what I want to mention. So in a show, an Out There edition that's going to play soon, I don't know when, you'll be hearing from Alex Jarrett, my housemate, who is on a walk, like an 8-day walk right now along the Hudson River Valley, in the Hudson River Valley. He went last weekend to Albany to there's an action to stop the bomb trains, and then he's continuing to walk, and he also took a pack raft for part of the walk so that he could paddle across the Hudson River where there is no bridge for many miles. But actually, as it turns out, the day that he was planning on paddling across the river, I think it was Monday, when we had these really intense winds out of the west, and he was hoping to cross from east to west, but wasn't sure that he would be able to make it very far with a tiny inflatable boat and the big Hudson and big west winds, so he made alternate plans. Anyway, he's got the recorder, and he's recording things, and I look forward to hearing a show from him coming up. Some other announcements. Hilltown Solarize Partnership is forming. The towns of Windsor, Worthington, Cummington, and Goshen are in the planning stages of forming a partnership to apply for a Solarize Mass grant. Solarize Mass is a group purchasing program that results in savings of about 20% below the statewide average for solar photovoltaic installations. Businesses, homeowners, and nonprofits are eligible for the discounts. The grant would provide up to $5,000 for each town to promote and publicize solar PV, as well as technical and other assistance. Each town must have a solar coach, a municipal representative, and an additional rep. The teams of three from each town then collectively pick the official Solarize PV installer. For more information or to help serve on one of the Solarize committees, please call Jan Bradley in Windsor at 413-684-3732. Marie Burkhart in Worthington at 413-238-5930,
Bill Adams in Cummington at 413-634-5342, or Dave Chrysopoulos in Goshen at 413-296-4536 for Hilltown Solarize Partnership that's forming. And another announcement coming up this Saturday. It's an all-day event. It's a day of remembrance, commemoration of the 340th anniversary of the Great Falls Massacre. This is in Turner's Falls at the Great Falls Discovery Center, Saturday, May 21st, from 10 to 6. Ceremony begins at 1 p.m., 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. The ceremony starts at 1. All are invited to spend time touring this battlefield area near what was once Great Falls, Peskyomskut, for personal reflection and historical perspective. The gathering begins at 10 in the morning. The ceremony will begin at 1 in the afternoon. Spiritual teachings by Native American grandmothers Georgina LaRook and Nancy Andre, and a radio documentary about the history of the event will be shared before and after the ceremony. We will reflect back through 12 years since the reconciliation ceremony between the Narragansett tribe and the town of Montague on May 19, 2004, and pay special tribute to Monique Fordham and George Nelson, whose courage, perseverance, and devotion saved what remains of Wistinawag, the 12,000-year-old Pecumtuk village site. A collaboration of the Nolumbeka Project, Visioning Bear, B-E-A-R, Circle, Intertribal Coalition, Turner's Falls River Culture, and the Department of Conservation and Recreation. For more information, you can contact Diane Dix at 413-773-9818 or go online at nolumbekaproject.org. That's N-O-L-U-M-B-E-K-A, nolumbekaproject.org. And that's this Saturday in Turner's Falls at the Great Falls Discovery Center. Also coming up this Saturday, wow, like everything happens in May. But there's hazardous household waste and electronics collection. I believe the hazardous household waste collection. Okay, this says hazardous household waste collection and JFK electronics collection. And it says it's at Smith Vocational. I'm not sure if the electronics collection is at JFK, though. But if you have hazardous waste, you have to pre-register through the City of Northampton, and it's for Northampton, Florence, and Leeds residents. You can bring caustic, toxic, corrosive, poisonous, or flammable household items for safe disposal via a licensed hazardous material handler. I'm going to play another song. Enough talking and announcements. This is a song that, if you listen to the Bike Lab announcement, you hear it. But now you get to hear the full version, La Cumbia de la Bicicleta by David Aguilar. He made this for a Mexico City bike, to encourage bike cyclist rights in Mexico City.
Giro de la estrella le da cuerda a la paciencia en la resistencia ante el flujo vial. Tal vez lo más progresista pueda ser lo más sencillo, cual dos tobillos sobre un pedal. Cuando la ciudad va llena, una noble maquinaria en la vida diaria podrá ayudar. Y es un cuadro equilibrado y que se echa a andar tan solo con los alveolos al respirar. Te hallaré pedaleando en el viaje de allá pa' acá, que nos vayan dejando un carril pa' nosotros ya. Puede darte varios cambios, del manubrio a los pedales hay muchos males por reducir. Siempre hay estacionamiento, matas el estrés un rato y es más barato, dímelo a mí. Vámonos bajando panza,
vámonos librando venas con la cadena que hace fluir. Vámonos al teatro en bici, a la chamba y a la escuela, hasta el bicinema o hasta de aquí. Te hallaré pedaleando en el viaje de allá para acá, que nos vayan dejando un carril pa' nosotros ya. Anda en bici la banda, porque tiene su qué sé yo, cada vez más demanda, porque es mágica, poco no. Ya súbase a la bici, compa, trépese a la de montaña, la bici urbana, la bici cross. Lléguele a la bicicleta, ya de menos a la eléctrica o a la estática, ya no hay tos. Llegaré pedaleando en el viaje de allá para acá, que nos vayan dejando un carril pa' nosotros ya. Anda en bici la banda, porque tiene su qué sé yo, cada vez más demanda, porque es mágica, poco no. Cumbia para las biclas que nos mueven de allá pa' acá, a ver si ya reciclan un carril pa' nosotros ya.
That was David Aguilar. And so the next thing I have is a clip. This isn't about bikes. I'm totally different. This is an interview with Lisa Bertoldi of Weft. Lisa lives in Williamsburg and does Weft flax, linen, like linen weaving. Weaving, that's it. Let's let Lisa talk.
So maybe if you could introduce yourself and just tell me what you do.
Sure. My name is Lisa Bertoldi, and I'm a weaver in Williamsburg, Massachusetts.
What do you weave?
I specialize in toweling, so I weave kitchen towels. Very durable, very thirsty dish towels, according to the Swedish tradition. So they're twill woven. They're very durable. You can just pop them in the wash, pop them in the dryer, or hang them out as you so desire. And the twill means that the actual threads are packed together more tightly, so it makes a denser, thicker fabric.
The twill is a type of weaving? Or like, what's the actual material made out of?
So the actual material is something that was invented in Scandinavia, we think, around World War II. It's called cotolin in the warp. So the cotolin is 60% cotton and 40% linen. So it takes advantage of the strength of the linen and the flexibility and spring of the cotton that's in the warp. So one almost never breaks a warp thread. And then the weft is 100% linen. And so that accounts for great strength and absorbability.
And the linen... last time I talked with you, you were talking about people growing flax in the area. Can you talk about that?
I would love to. Flax only takes 100 days to grow from seed to full-grown fiber, bast fiber plant. So it's very suitable for this area. It likes moisture in the air and in the soil. So it's it grows very well in the river valley, but it can also grow in the hill towns, no problem. There's a movement really across North America to, and England, I would say, too, to play around with, experiment, and revivify flax as a fiber for our fiber sheds. You're probably familiar with the concept of watershed or food shed. And so the concept of fiber shed is actually people utilizing the fibers that grow in their own area to minimize petroleum usage in their own footprint. And so many people are familiar, of course, with sheep's wool. We grow much sheep's wool here in Western Massachusetts. I run the Massachusetts Sheep and Wool Craft Fair. I'm one of the co-chairs. And so I think we almost all have at least a pair of socks or a hat made out of locally grown wool or locally grown alpaca or mohair. But a lot of people in our area are thinking about the sustainability aspects of locally grown flax. There's a wonderful company, a farm and fiber lab in Nova Scotia called Taproot, and they're manufacturing small-scale flax processing equipment. It's all very exciting, and in fact, there's a program at FIT, Fashion Institute of Technology in Manhattan, the textile design department, and they're interested in the equipment which Taproot is developing. It's very exciting.
Yeah, so people that are growing it here in the Valley, how do they process it? On what scale are they growing it?
Okay, on a very small scale. So you can grow a 3x3 plot and get some usable fiber. So a lot of us are growing it and have grown it really for the past 20 years. I know I have a lot of friends who've grown it for the past 20 or 25 years. The interesting thing about flax is that you only get about 3 to 11% usable fiber. So it's got a very low ratio of usable fiber to woody bits, which are called shive or boon. The finest linen is called line linen. And then the waste material is called tow. You might have heard the word tow-headed, and that refers to the color of the material. Yeah. So garments are often made of line linen, like wonderful shirting, wonderful tablecloths. And then tow is more for toweling or for sacking, grain sacks or whatnot. And then the waste product, the boon, is actually used basically for fire starting. It's very compostable. It's a wonderful woody material. It's sort of like old, just stems, field stems, or stems when you go out walking by the side of the road. It's just old stems.
Yeah. Can you just describe, what does a flax plant look like?
The flax plant is a lovely plant. It has a thin stem with tiny, narrow leaves and then lovely blue blossoms that only last a day. Sometimes the blossoms are white, according to the variety. Sometimes they're pale pink or pale lavender. But typically, flax blossoms are a lovely shade of blue. And the plant is usually between waist high and, I would say, breastbone high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many days did you say it takes?
Exactly 100, or 95 to 110 days.
Can you just do one crop a year here, or can you squeeze in two crops?
That's a great question. Typically, the best growing conditions are in the springtime, and so it's most efficacious to really to have the one crop a year. There are probably areas where there could be two crops a year.
Right. Well, can you just tell me again the name of your business and how people can find your product?
Sure. The name of my business is Weft Hand Wovens. That's W-E-F-T. I'm on the internet. It's W-E-F as in Francis, T.U.S. I'm also in the phone book, Lisa Bertoldi in Williamsburg, Massachusetts. I also sell at the Open Studios at One Cottage Street in East Hampton, Mass, as an invited artisan. There are two open studios a year, one in December and one in June.
And then people can find you at the wool...
At the Massachusetts Sheep and Wool Craft Fair, which is always the Saturday and Sunday of Memorial Day weekend at the wonderful Cummington Fairgrounds in Cummington, Massachusetts. Rain or shine.
Well, wool keeps you warm in the rain, too. So.
That's right. And sheds water.
Anything else you want to add?
That it's great to live in the valley, and it's a really exciting time because people are very interested in the concept of fiber shed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So that about does it for today's show. This is Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ LP 103.3 FM. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up at 5 o'clock. And, thanks for listening.
Classical music returns to Valley Free Radio. Tune in to Andy Musique Wednesday mornings at 6 a.m. for an hour of beautiful music to start your day, hosted by Lucy and Larry.
Me escribió muy dulcemente, lo siento atleta. Me acarició con sus manos de Bengue y siguió su destino. Y oí claramente cuando dijo otro paciente, tranquilo Bobby. Bajé los ojos a media asta y me agarré la cabeza. Porque es muy duro pasar el Niágara en bicicleta.
No me digas.